That was Famous Last Words by My Chemical Romance. Good evening, everyone. It is 7:31 on Monday, August 1st, 2011, and this is episode 39 of Radio Show with Jeff and Jeremy. As always, I'm Jeremy.
This is Jeff.
Jeff, how are you?
Jeremy, I am swell. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Good.
I'm doing well. We're here actually up in a sweaty studio, Studio A.
It's a sultry Studio A.
Having a little network difficulties, so we had to do the hard wire route, which typically we go more for the wireless, but technology is failing. And that's what happens when you have a five-year-old laptop that you try to do a podcast from. But anyway, but we'll make do. We have beer. We have some Guinness draft in a bottle. I'm not sure how I feel about that.
You're going to like it. The key is the pint glass. It's all in how it's
served. Did you do the pour?
I did the pour.
You did proper pour.
You know, there was a card. I used to carry a card in my wallet that said how to pour Guinness, and it was like four or five steps. It's much more complicated than you would imagine.
I can imagine. But it's more complicated than I imagine.
Yes, it is. It is.
All right, hey everyone. We have in our studio coming up a little bit later.
He's in the green room now.
Yeah, he's in the green room. He's prepping. The interns
are going
to grab him later.
Did you like that fruit bowl I had brought in?
Yeah. It was beautiful.
Thank you. I cut that all up myself this morning.
The cookie basket.
Yeah.
Ian Petrella, who played Randy in A Christmas Story, is going to be live on the show, live in studio. We always like when people stop by and visit us in the studio. If you have any questions for him, you can jump in the chat room if you're listening live. If it's Monday at 7:33 p.m. Eastern where you are, jump into radioshowonline.com/chatroom, and you can jump in there to say hi to Ian, ask any questions you want. You can also email us, hatemail@radioshowonline.com is the email address. No, that is not a joke. That is our actual email address. And then, of course, if you can't afford to listen live, most people don't listen live. Jeff, they can't revolve their whole lives around our little show.
I expect them to listen live. I feel like it's the least they could do for us.
Right. Unlike we revolve our lives around the show.
But we revolve our lives around us. Why can't they?
They can't do it. You can also listen to us on Stitcher, a great app for your smartphone that allows you to listen to Radio Show Online or Radio Show with Jeff and Jeremy 24/7,
yeah.
Along with a lot of other people.
My goal is you can fall asleep at night listening to our voices.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the waves of the ocean.
That is how I fall asleep and how I wake up. I set my alarm to that every day. But anyway, before we get to Ian, we're going to talk a little bit about what was going on this past weekend.
Because we're more important.
Exactly.
It's our show. Ian gets his own show, he can talk about himself all the time.
What did you do this weekend?
Jeremy, I hung out with you, which was a real treat.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I hope this is the beginning of a brand new friendship here.
Normally, we like to keep our social lives separate. We don't like to hang, because then we'll have nothing to talk about. If we talk about everything,
we're like
coworkers
who have dated.
Exactly.
That's how we treat our
right.
life
we just
off
like,
the show.
We just like to see each other, you know, when we come in and do the show. But yeah,
right.
We actually, a friend of mine, Dan Young, who lives over in the Federal Knitting Mills building. Which is very cool. He did this. He had his birthday party. They have an awesome rooftop deck up there.
Yes.
So I invited you.
Yeah, and I brought some people. Actually, I'd heard about people going to this party during the day.
Yeah.
It was one of those parties where enough people were going that the word was sort of getting around. And what was also getting around was that he said everyone's welcome.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just kind of one of those things where people showed up. And there was definitely plenty of room. I mean, that was a huge deck on
the
rooftop. It was really a great place for a party. And then the best fireworks show of the night, of the year, that the Indians had, was that night.
Yeah, we were sitting there, sitting up on the deck and watching the Indians game, watching the fireworks go off, and it seemed to be going for a really long time.
Mm-hmm.
Was it a special?
It was, yeah, it was a special, usually it's just thing. Friday nights only they do fireworks.
Yeah.
They did a special one for Saturday, and I think it was 20 minutes long, which
wow.
is incredible.
I depend on you for all my sports knowledge, even if it's just about
even
fireworks.
Even a fireworks show?
Why?
Anything around a stadium.
Right, why were there fireworks involved? What happens? Exactly. Earlier in the day, though, I went to Jen and I went to Westside Market. We also grabbed some daytime beers at Great Lakes because I think drinking a beer in the sunshine is one of the best times to ingest a beer.
There's nothing like a good day drinking in the summer is unbelievable. That's why we love going down to down the beach down by Copacabana.
Yep.
It's a great place to hang out. I was there Saturday.
It's like you and I going to the beach.
Yeah.
I just pictured us holding hands.
Yeah.
Jeff and I like to go on the beach sometimes.
We have like those 1920s bathing suits.
And we're lifting those barbells that are
right.
round on the
real
end.
Quick though.
Yeah.
Real fast
yeah.
motion.
Yeah. No
black
one knows
and
what
white.
We're talking about.
Crapicana, though, they took over that kitchen there, and it really is great. I had some beers and had buffalo chicken down there. The food is incredible. And just sitting out by the water, hanging out. It was a great Saturday afternoon. Then I headed up to the Knitting Mills party with you that night. So a great weekend all in all.
Stone Mad Irish Pub. Have you ever been to Stone Mad?
Yes.
But have you eaten food there?
You know, I don't think I've eaten. I've only just had beers there.
Yeah, so typically that's not the place you kind of go. You go more to think about, you go more to for drinking. It's got an awesome outdoor patio. We've talked about it before.
Yeah.
But I actually got some food there this time and was pleasantly surprised.
Okay.
Had like a beef brisket sandwich, their famous beef brisket sandwich.
Yes.
Delicious.
It is.
Jen had some curried cream corn.
Oh,
which
wow.
Sounds right up your alley.
That's something
I know how you like a variety of flavors.
Yes.
And variety.
It's not vanilla, so I like it.
No, yeah, exactly. So yeah, definitely a good place to go for food.
And the bocce court, did you guys get any bocce in
there? No,
we
didn't do the bocce. We were just kind of outside enjoying that. They have an indoor bocce court,
yeah.
And we were just kind of doing a thing outside.
That's really caught on, I have to say. The first couple of years in that place, I was kind of wondering. It was kind of been a. That was really before the area got built up as much as it is now when that opened.
Yeah.
But I think now it's just it's hung in there for the first couple of years, and now with the theater being renovated and all the new things like Sweet Moses and all those places that are up now in Detroit by 65th, it seems like it's really, really taken off.
It's funny you mentioned Sweet Moses because I was there on last night.
Oh. Yeah. Well, Sunday night. I like that.
It's my mom's birthday.
Oh,
so she
Joyce.
Was over for dinner.
Happy birthday.
It's her birthday, yeah. So we had her over for dinner, and then she came out to. Took my parents out to Sweet Moses for dessert.
Oh,
so
wow.
That way we didn't have to make anything for dessert.
That works. That works
yeah.
Very nicely. Well, happy
yeah.
Birthday to Joyce.
Yep, yep. So anyway, in the news then, Center Street. By the way, the rundown here says, Jeff, you this weekend played with Barbies and then cried.
In that order. There was an accident with the Barbies. It was really upsetting.
I just put that there as a placeholder. You're supposed
said,
to replace that with something
I said
creative.
Keep it, though. I didn't say keep it.
Okay. All right. Well, that's what we're going to say that you did
so
this weekend
it.
Then. Hey, then in some other local news, the Center Street Swing Bridge, which I stare at out my window,
yes,
is finally open after being shut down for a year. So now this kind of connects the East and West Bank. I can finally walk to Shooters again.
Oh,
without having to go over the Detroit Shoreway Bridge.
Yeah.
So yeah, much better situation for me.
Was that about a year? How long?
Yeah,
was that?
Yeah,
that
like
was a long
year.
Time.
Yeah, yeah. All right, moving on.
Well, there you go.
A couple Cleveland restaurants got some top honors. Jeff, back in sports related news, do you get ESPN The Mag?
The Mag? No,
the,
I
the
don't.
Magazine?
I don't. I read some online articles, but I don't get the physical Mag.
Oh. Well, they have rated Melt, which with locations in Lakewood and Cleveland Heights,
wow.
As one of their top 10 sports bars in the country.
Yeah, that's surprised. I didn't see that one coming.
Have you been there?
I've been there. I just wouldn't think to watch a game up there, though.
I don't think of it as a sports bar.
I don't either.
I think of it as awesome grilled cheese sandwiches.
Yeah, soup, grilled cheese, but I don't think of it as watch a game.
But not, yeah, not
that's,
as a
that's really
game.
Odd, I think.
Yeah. And then also Food Network magazine named Barcento on West 25th. Their Sunnyside Pizza as the best pizza in Ohio.
There's nothing odd about that. That place is incredible. I love that pizza.
Yeah, so they did a story where they went to each one of the states and picked the best pizza in each state. And Barcento's Sunnyside Pizza, best in Ohio.
Wow.
And then finally, Cooking Channel, they're going to be at the Greenhouse Tavern this week filming for Unique Eats because they have Jonathan Sawyer labeled as a local hero.
Oh, wow.
So Northeast Ohio getting some food props.
We are becoming a food capital, a food destination, Jeremy. And I've always said that's what Cleveland needs to be, a food. I said that in the 90s.
Yeah, yeah.
Remember?
You were saying that back then.
No one was listening, but we need to be
a
food.
Playing tag.
Yeah, I was like,
Cleveland needs to be a food destination.
No one lived. Now who's laughing, Jeremy?
Yep.
Me.
You are.
And all those owners are making money that I'm not.
Right. We need to open up a restaurant or something.
I mean, if Melt can be a sports bar, one of the top 10 sports bars in the country, anything's possible. That is, to me, still shocking.
Yeah. Well, it was ESPN The Mag.
The Mag, not the
magazine. I think it's below the Ocho.
Yes.
I mean, as far
yeah.
as the ESPN hierarchy is concerned.
Yeah, the family of publications.
Yeah, they're farther down. They're farther down on the list. Hey, speaking of food, so tomorrow I'm going to check out, and you should as well. Taco Tuesday at, and I can't even pronounce the name of the place where I'm going to Taco Tuesday.
Oh, sure, I can.
Okay.
Sashoshab.
I think it's Sashenheim.
Sashenheim
Hall
yes.
on Denison in Cleveland. They have an amazing Taco Tuesday, 75-cent tacos. And I went to this place once for a Halloween party. And it was it's a very, like, kind of strange, scary place.
Is it like
there
a
was,
lot of older people?
No, it's very large, like multi-leveled, multi-roomed, and it was just an interesting cast of characters, I
Okay.
guess I.
Characters are welcome there.
Exactly. They only have a website. We'll link to their Yelp page, but yeah, they're at 7001 Denison Avenue, and I hear the Taco Tuesday, that's the place to be. They're cheap. As I said, 75-cent tacos, can't beat that.
Taco, I feel like everyone has a Taco Tuesday now.
I know.
That's it.
Okay.
Just want to share that. You who loves that Sash and Sime Hall, however you say it, my friend Cammy.
Oh, yeah.
Huge. Cammy's huge in that place. Yeah,
Yeah,
she found
yeah.
that a year ago.
You know what? She had a review on Yelp. Is that her?
Yeah, that's her.
Yeah.
There you go.
Okay.
Can I say that this is a hidden gem or is that a cliche? Yeah, she does love that place.
It is cliched. She went on Taco Tuesday, says the taco's great selection. She likes the chipotle bacon, had excellent depth to flavor. I'm just reading other people's Yelp reviews. This is how our podcast has sunk down to.
Well, Jeremy, this weekend is unbelievable. I feel like this weekend could be the most going on in Cleveland on a summer weekend. Is this the busiest summer weekend, like opposed to like a holiday, 4th of July?
Sure.
Let's call it that. Can we call
Okay.
it that
The
right now?
busiest weekend coming up in
Busiest
Cleveland.
weekend. There's so much to do. Something I found out new, I didn't even know about, the Blues and Brews Akron weekend. Have you heard of Blues and Brews?
I have not.
It's down, as I said, down in Akron, and it's a 2 o'clock to 6 o'clock Saturday, August 6th. And you can sample more than 200 craft beers from over 75 renowned breweries. And Thirsty Dog is heavily involved in this as well, Thirsty Dog Brewing Company. But kind of like a ale fest, like we had in Tremont, basically, it's like Akron's version of that. This afternoon, this Saturday afternoon from 2 o'clock to 6 o'clock in Akron's Lock 3 Park. So if you want to do some day drinking down in Akron, you're going to be at Lock 3 Park
That's true.
this
But you
Saturday.
should get a hotel then or something.
Should
So you
go to a
can drink and
hotel.
drive.
Yeah, stay down in Akron. Enjoy Akron.
Yep. Now there's also two big events kind of doing a head-to-head. And I consider one more of like the distinguished crowd.
Yes.
Like maybe your mom would go to this.
Okay, what about your mom?
I don't know where she would go. I don't know. So your mom might go to this. And then there's the more of the sloppy, like just like crazy party type atmosphere. So those are
Okay.
the descriptions, and I'm gonna say the two events, and you try to say which one your mom would go to.
Okay, go.
All right, so the first one is Twilight at the Zoo, happening this Saturday from 7 to midnight. Ticket $75, clevelandzoosociety.org. You go around for the $75. It's pretty much all you can eat, all you can drink. The zoo's open. You wander around. You hang out with the monkeys. See the new elephant exhibit.
Okay. Wow.
You know.
I'm a big Penguin Island guy.
Okay.
Huge Penguin Island guy.
Okay.
I think my mom would enjoy the
Well,
zoo.
you didn't get
No,
the
no, but
second.
I've heard enough. I've heard enough.
Your mom's a real zoo
She's
person.
a huge zoo person.
Okay. Now, the second one is where you and I will be, if that gives
Yes.
any hint to where your mom will not be,
Yes.
because she hates
She hates
associating with
you.
you.
Oh, we each had the same one.
We've both thought
There
about
you
how
go.
your mom hates one of us. Krusty Summer Sauce Camp, the 20th annual Krusty Summer Sauce Camp. I can't believe that they've been doing this for 20
I can't
years.
believe I was 13 when I first went to this
I
thing.
know. We were playing tag, and you were talking about how Northeast Ohio needs to be a food
And people
destination
were out getting sloshed and
back when this first
crusties.
started.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is the annual event to raise money for Malachi House. This is this Saturday, August 6th, on Whiskey Island, starting at noon. Now you can get advance tickets, $50. I think at the door they go up a little bit,
60.
60. So you can get advance tickets at Mary Arts or Kenilworth Tavern, Rocky River Brewing Company, Brendan's Colony, Whiskey Island Marina. That's where I went. I actually
Right.
had to go into Tropicana.
I drove all the way to local Leprechaun because I felt like they were going to be sold out.
Yeah.
Turns out that was totally unnecessary. I drove out to Westlake.
Plenty of local Leprechaun
Oh,
tickets.
well, no. They had them even at Whiskey Island. I drove all the way
Okay.
out to Westlake thinking that no one around here would have them.
Oh, yeah.
I kind of outsmarted myself on that one.
Yeah. Did
Again.
you get anything at local Leprechaun
No,
while
I
you're
went
there?
in there,
Have you
checked.
been to local
No.
Leprechaun besides this?
No, that was
You know
it.
why it's loco? Because it's Irish and
Yeah,
Mexican. It's
that's
like a
crazy,
combo.
Jeremy. That's
Crazy. A
crazy.
local
Yeah,
Leprechaun.
yeah. What a segue to introduce our guest.
What a segue. 7:45, right on target. Ian Petrella played Randy in A Christmas Story, and now he's here live in studio. on Radio Show with Jeff and Jeremy. Ian, thank you so much for coming down.
Thank you.
We appreciate it.
Yeah. Ian, welcome. Can we say you're a friend of the show?
You can say I'm a friend of the show.
Okay. Now he's officially a friend of the show. Okay, we should have him do like a promo for the
show. Yeah, we're
going
to need to do some videos, some spots here afterwards.
Right. Like
audio, video, we'll get it all.
This is Ian Petrella.
you're listening to Radio Show with Jeff and Jeremy.
Then we can just, that's the only one we have. And so we will just play that constantly.
Oh, we would do a show of just that.
Every 5 minutes on our show. If you want to chat with...
Replay for the anniversary.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly. Well, an anniversary show for you being here. Right. We'll have two anniversary shows.
It's kind of like what MTV's doing now. Because they're having their 30th anniversary. So
Oh, yeah.
They're replaying all their old logos, which were... Just, I mean, anybody who grew up in the 80s and 90s and, you know, remembers when MTV played music...
Yep.
Remembers the wonderful logos.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
That's when they played music and they bring in all these artists and everything. So they were... there. I just find it hilarious that VH1 has to play all this stuff. You know, MTV's not playing their own anniversary.
Yeah, they're too good for it. Yeah, we don't do music.
They're too busy running Jersey Shore, Road Rules, all that. But VH1, they'll have no problem picking up slack. We'll increase our ratings with your old stuff. So,
so Ian, I'm sure most of our listeners are obviously familiar with The Christmas Story because they play it every single year on TNT, TBS. They do this marathon.
Yes, they do.
By the way, do you get any royalties now? Every time that play, do you make like $1 or something? Nothing?
No.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a really big, it's kind of a big misconception in this business.
Yeah.
People think, oh, you're in a movie, you're going to be rich for the rest of your life. No,
yeah,
you're not. So,
I think that about podcasts. You got a podcast, you're going to be rich the rest of your life.
Yeah.
It has not happened yet.
So you probably make more doing a podcast.
We're behind. We somehow lost about a couple $100 each in this.
Yeah. We're actually in the hole at this point. How did you get started in this role to begin with?
Well, I was a child actor. I started when I was 3 years old in Los Angeles. And out there we have a saying that, and usually you have a hyperactive kid, you put him on Ritalin, but in LA, you take him to a talent agency and try and see if you can make a little dough off of this kid. So I started when I was 3. I had an aunt who worked for the agency that I went to. It was called the Herb Tannen Agency at the time. Also, they were also the same agent that was representing Peter Billingsley, who played Ralphie Parker in the movie. And this agency was like, kind of one of the biggest agencies, one of the biggest child agencies in LA. I mean, they Drew Barrymore was with us, Soleil Moon Frye, Barrett Oliver from Neverending Story.
God, I love Punky Brewster.
Yeah.
Did you meet her?
Yeah, I did.
Sweet.
I got to meet all these kids.
That's awesome.
So anyways, they brought me down and they're like, all right, he's got some personality and he's cute. We'll go ahead and send him out on audition and see what happens. They sent me on an audition for Jif Peanut Butter and nailed it.
No, nice.
So, of course, you know, here's a contract, here's a SAG card. You're now an actor.
Yeah. And here's all the Jif peanut butter you want.
Here's all the Jif peanut butter you want, yeah.
Was that the Choosy Moms campaign?
It was before Choosy Moms campaign. Okay. So, but unfortunately, the commercial never made it to air. So, you can't even find it on YouTube these days.
Okay. So, wow, and that's saying something.
I know. Yeah. So, a lot of my stuff you can't find on YouTube. It's hilarious. You can find anything on YouTube. Anything.
Do you have any videos that we shouldn't know about?
Do I?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, okay.
I'm just saying. It's like, you would think in this day and age with YouTube,
you're right.
You can, find people, duct taping their butt cheeks together, but you can't find an old Ocean Spray commercial that I was in.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, but that's how it got started. And it just kind of, when I was thinking, my parents weren't, they weren't pushing me into it. They just basically like, it's just a fun hobby. It's kind of like joining a baseball team when you're a kid. That's what it was for me.
Yeah, yeah.
So
how did the – so you started off in commercials, and then the role for A Christmas Story came up, and you auditioned? Or?
Yeah. Okay. Auditioned once, and then it was kind of a weird audition because obviously, Randy doesn't have, too many lines. He's got like 3 lines, and most of his stuff is just kind of making noises of whining and, crying. It's kind of like the R2-D2, Christmas Story. So, they just wanted to see personality. And then after that, they brought me in for a second audition. And that's when I met the producer and I met the director, Bob Clark. And there was something about me that he liked. So he flew me up to his house in Boston and I got to do a screen test. in his house in Boston. That's where, you know, it was pretty much like, basically describe it as hanging out with your crazy Uncle Bob. You know, he would just, you know, throw me under the sink, here, say a line here, and then, you know, whip me out a table, throw a bowl of oatmeal in front of me. He's like, go ahead, just start eating like a pig. And that was it. That was like the main audition. He's like, okay, cool. We're going to fly you out to Cleveland.
Awesome. So some of the scenes, the movie doesn't take place in Cleveland, but a lot of the scenes were filmed in Cleveland as well as where were some of the other places that you guys filmed?
Well, we shot obviously the Higbee's building downtown that was done in Cleveland. We used all the exteriors for the house that was done in Cleveland, and then some of the alley scenes were done right here in Tremont.
Okay.
And then the rest of it, the school was shot in St. Catharines, Ontario, and then the Chinese food restaurant was also in Toronto, Canada, as well as that's where we did all the exteriors.
Okay. So, because the one time I did the Christmas Story House tour like a couple years back, and they said, oh, this is the official Chinese restaurant. There's a Chinese restaurant here in Cleveland that they said, oh, this is the official restaurant of the Christmas Story House. But I didn't think that Chinese restaurant in the movie, I didn't think that was in Cleveland.
No. Okay. No. What that restaurant, Pearl of the Orient, they went out of business is... They were a partner of the Christmas Story House, and what they did is they were a Chinese restaurant. You can go down there, and they would do the whole bring out the duck, chop the head off, sing you Christmas carols, and everything. So they were just like a partner, giving you something that when you come to Cleveland and you come to the Christmas Story House, you go to. Now you have another place to go to.
Yeah.
And recently, since that place went out, we hooked up with Bach, which is down over on West 14th. So they're kind of like... They're not exactly the traditional Chinese, you know, and I've met Bach and he's like the coolest guy in the world. I'm like, there's no way this dude's coming out here singing Fa La. So I told him, like, I forbid it for you to come out here. But during the wintertime, during the holiday season, he does serve a duck dish. So Bach has kind of has replaced Pearl of the Orient and become our like official restaurant. So
you shoot the movie at a couple different cities, but it seems that and I don't know. Give me your perspective. Obviously, it seems that Cleveland really rallies around like this movie, even though as far as the amount of time that it's actually on screen is less than a lot of the other cities. How are you received here in Cleveland compared to other cities?
Well, that's a good question because nobody ever recognizes me. So it's not
you're
like
too old now.
Yeah, you can. Yeah, it's when you see somebody from when they're 8 years old, and now you're looking at them when they're 36 years old. No one's gonna go, "Yo, Randy." So how I'm perceived is when it's talked about, it's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. But usually, it's just get out of my way. So like everybody else.
Yeah.
I do remember there was one time that here in the city in Cleveland, being in A Christmas Story actually. Saved me from getting my ass kicked in the nightclub.
Wow.
So that was pretty cool. That's when you know it's like, okay, I got something here. But
so let's not just gloss over this. So you're at a nightclub.
We're at a nightclub. This is what happened. We were doing we were doing the fundraiser for the Christmas Story House here in Cleveland. This was back in 2004.
Okay.
And we show up and Zach Ward, who played Scott Farkas, he had met this girl. And I don't know what happened to her. I'd actually like to get in contact with her. Her name is Julie. So, Julie, if you're listening, I'm at the Christmas Story House. I'd like to say hi to you. It'd be cool. Because you're a big part of this story, man. She's the one who actually got me from getting my ass kicked. So anyways, we had this after party. And then me, Zach, and this girl, Julie, we went to a nightclub. I don't remember the name of it now. Okay. I didn't know where streets were, so just like being led, to this nightclub, and we get in, and we're standing there trying to order drinks, and you know, Julie, you know, had a few too many, and she's all excited. She kind of like was dancing around and knocked someone's drink over, and of course, you know, the guy looks at me like,
"This is your woman."
Yeah, this is your woman. Do something about your woman, man. You know. And I was like, I'm sorry, you know, I'll buy you another drink. And he's like, no, you know, I'm going to take you outside, you know, blah, blah, blah. And Julie leans over and she like whispers in this guy's ear something, you know, I don't know what it was, but all of a sudden the mood changed and he just went, Oh man, I had no idea. I love that movie. So like, okay, I didn't have to buy him a drink, and all was fine. So it's kind of this weird thing. It's like if you tell people, they love it, and they you know, treat you with respect.
But yeah.
I mean, you certainly don't, you know, you don't get to cross any velvet rope sooner than everybody else. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's funny. One time I was at a nightclub also and almost got into a fight, similar situation. And I also said I was Randy from A Christmas Story, and it got me out of that fight as well.
And you know what? The thing is because nobody recognizes me, anybody. Randy from A Christmas Story, and it'll keep your butt from getting kicked. So,
well, I think when I was out with you last summer, when our friend Cammy, she did the tour and she met you, and you came out with us later that night. I mentioned you, you know, with women, I would think that if you told them who you were, that'd be a huge thing. And you said, oh, I don't want to try that. But I said, in this town, trust me, if you go up to a girl and say, hey, I'm Randy from The Christmas Story, there's a 1 in 2 chance. I think they're going to say, wow, that's amazing. Would you agree, Jeremy?
Yeah.
You were downplaying it, I feel like. And I was trying to tell you, you got to use this because I think it was unbelievable.
I remember that conversation. I do. Believe me. but no, it doesn't work like that. It's A Christmas Story, not Van Halen.
Yeah.
So
well, that's my theory.
Jeff tries that though.
Yeah, I try it.
That's the other misconception. Oh, you're in a movie, you can just get any girl you want. No.
Yeah. Same with podcasts. A lot of similarities, I feel like.
Right. I love how you try to keep making this connection.
Yep. It's not working, is it?
Anything you can do to build us up, Jeff. To make us feel
better.
But
I'm curious, with the actual movie, it's kind of funny the timeline of this movie, because there really was kind of a lag from when it came out to when the popularity really hit.
Right.
It became popular, I would say, mid-90s. I mean, it came out early 80s?
Yeah, it came out in 1984.
84, okay.
And then it didn't really get popular until, yeah, the mid-90s. But I think what happened is, I mean, obviously with the magic of cable and VHS, is it became this word-of-mouth film.
Yeah.
So it wasn't one of those movies where the studios, they shoved down your throat and told you, you know, you need to go see this opening weekend. It became one of those movies that everybody discovered on their own, and then they would tell their friends. And it's still, to this day, that's the impression that I get from people is that they love it, but they love it because it's like, it's my film. I discovered it. I learned it on my own. And no one told me to go see it. But I think that's the best way to get, it's the best way to attract somebody's attention. Just let them find it on their own. So it's definitely earned this sort of cult status, basically. It's not exactly underground, but it's definitely got like more of a cult following because I think it just appeals to everybody because they feel a connection with it.
Yeah. So. Well, who of the cast do you keep in touch with now, would you say? Is there anyone? I know you guys get to have some reunions, right, you've had.
Well, I mean, pretty much everybody I keep in touch with is, Scott Schwartz, who played Flick, Yano and I, who played Grover Dill, and Scott Farkas, who played Zach Ward, who played Scott Farkas.
Okay.
And that's pretty much about it, because you know we were the only ones that would be available, and we do appearances and tours and everything.
And do they ever come into with you? I know you're there all the time at the house, or most of the time. Do they come in for appearances at the house regularly?
They haven't. No.
Okay.
We're trying to see how that would work out if we can get everybody there. This is one of the things, the reason why we did it, is because more people associate the character of Randy with the house than they do with Flick and everybody else. So we'll try and get them out here for all the conventions when we do something really big. We did one last November. We're probably not going to do anything here in Cleveland that big until the 30th anniversary.
Okay.
So
yeah, let's talk a little bit more about why you're now in Cleveland and what you're doing with the Christmas Story House. So for those that don't know, we taped this podcast in Tremont, and just a couple blocks away is a Christmas Story house, which they use for all the exteriors in the movie.
Right.
And now you can get tours, and even across the street, there's a, museum, the museum. And,
museum and a gift shop, which I call the engine room of the Christmas Story house, because that's what keeps everything fueling.
Yeah.
So
so tell us, so now you're currently there giving the tours, or people can come see you?
Yeah, basically what it is, you know, we have tour guides who will give you a brief history on how the movie made it here to Cleveland, how Cleveland was picked as, the exterior for a Christmas Story. They'll go into the story of Brian Jones and how he discovered the house, how he got started, making leg lamps and turning the house into a business. And then I come in basically just answer questions about the film. My experiences, what I went through, any question that anybody would basically have. Because, I mean, as far as like giving a tour, you don't really give walk people around and give tours. It's a house. You just give them a brief, you give them an explanation, and then you just let them run through and they take pictures. Mm-hmm. So,
cool. What's the craziest question you've been asked?
Ooh.
Anything off the wall?
Oh, really bizarre off the wall. I don't know. It wasn't really a question. And I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't.
You should talk about this.
Oh, I think you should.
Oh, this is gross.
That's all right. This is we can deal.
Now he didn't come up to me. He didn't tell me. He told one of the tour guides.
Okay.
Now, when you walk into the house and I have my little merchandise table where I sell, you know, pictures and posters and T-shirts. And there's one T-shirt that it's the image of Randy stuffing his face into mashed potatoes.
Uh-oh.
And I guess this one guy came in. Just going on about how he just gets such a sexual charge off of that, and just going off about the tour guide. There's something so sexual about that.
Did he come up to you and say, "Show me how the piggy eats"?
He did. He didn't come up to me and talk
real
about
slow
that.
Life.
But
he just whispers it
right.
Show me how the piggy eats.
But something about that scene really gets him off, and then to top it all off. He goes next door with his wife to the gift shop, and they both purchase a Randy bib to take home with them.
Oh, man.
So
wow.
That's
wow.
Probably, you know, we don't get a lot of that, but
yeah.
That was probably the weirdest thing that came through is the man.
That is awesome. Does anyone ever try to make you, like, hide under the cabinets or something? Like, they want you, as a 36-year-old man, to reenact that scene?
But yeah, there's always stuff. People want you to say a line or they want you to do something. And there are certain things. Like, at 36, you're not going to recite lines just because it's not going to sound the same. But as far as, like, crawling under the cabinet, which you can do, and I have done, my rule is if you make the suggestion, then you got to get under there with me.
Huh. Okay, that's fair.
That's it.
Fair deal.
So it's just, yeah, and people are like, okay, let's go. And, you know, I'll go and we'll get a picture. And the reason why I had to do that is because I would do that all the time, is you would go under there. And if it was really busy, you'd go under there. You'd be there all day because everybody wants to get a picture. You'd never get a chance to get out of there. So I'm like, okay, we gotta just space this out a little bit.
Yeah, know? Yeah.
Gotta have some time to walk around and talk to people and not stay under the cabin the whole time.
Now, were some of the... Which of the interior scenes, if any, from the movie were filmed in that house? Were any, or was it all used for exterior shots?
All exteriors. The only time that we would use any of the interiors is anytime you see from the camera looking outwards.
Okay.
So, for instance, when the leg lamp is delivered and the old man opens up the door and the delivery guy is standing on the porch, that's in the house.
Hmm.
When you're looking through the window and mom's trying to adjust the leg lamp and the old man's on the street, that was shot in the house. When Peter, Ralphie's looking out... the window and he sees his dad come home and the Bumpus Hounds are running around. That, you know, stuff like that would be filmed in the house.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, there wasn't anything in the house. I mean, it was an empty shell. It was a rental property. There was nothing in it.
Hmm.
And because it was a duplex, it's not a single home. It's a duplex. You would have to knock out all these walls just to, you know, make the living room. So.
Now, you mentioned you're from Los Angeles. Can you talk about Cleveland a little bit in terms of now that you've spent a lot of time here the last couple of years?
Mm-hmm.
What you feel, your thoughts on the city versus the perception of the city before you got here?
Well, I mean, obviously I had a perception when I was 8 years old, you know, because I'd been here. And then, you know, coming back here every now and then to do the reunion since 2004. So I wasn't a total stranger to Cleveland. But definitely when I came back here and you got to live here, you got to discover a little bit more about the city. And my thing, I mean, living, you know, in L.A. and growing up there and seeing, there's not, as far as, like, the people is concerned, there's not a whole lot of difference. The only thing that I got a sense here in Cleveland is that there's more of a sense of community out here where people, because they're from here, so they have more of their pride, where obviously L.A., is a lot of, you know, transplants. So a lot of my friends, you know, mostly all my friends from L.A. are not from L.A. They're from the Midwest or the East Coast or other countries. But as far as like, you know, the city life, you know, downtown life, you know, it's not that much different, really. You know, I mean, everybody, we all pretty much want the same thing. So
where do you go when you want to like hang out? What are some of your favorite restaurants or bars or things to do?
Definitely Bach, you know, go there just because I've made friends with him.
Yeah.
Edison's Pizza is, you know, amazing. There's I think the Treehouse is one of my favorite places.
Yeah.
Because that was, when I came here back in 2004, that was the first bar that I was taken to. So it's kind of cool that I live down the street, you know, a little bit from the Treehouse and can go there every now and then.
Jeff is mayor of the Treehouse on Foursquare.
Yes.
Yeah,
so that's my home bar, Ian. Yeah. I got to tell you, the patio there is huge. It's a great summer bar. There's no place better. It's home base in Tremont. It really is.
Yeah.
So. All right. So the Christmas Story House, what are the, right now, how long are you there through? When can people come and visit you?
I'm going to be there through August.
Okay.
And we're open from Thursday to Sunday.
Okay.
So first tour starts at 10:15, and then we usually stop letting people in about 4:30 just because we're getting ready to close down. And then Sundays, the first tour goes on about 12:15.
All right, great. So that's at 3159 West 11th Street, Cleveland, Ohio.
Yes.
Great, Ian. Thank you so much for stopping by.
Hey,
no
problem.
We appreciate it.
Thank
very,
you.
Very nice meeting
friend
you.
Friend of the show. Absolutely.
Yes.
We're glad to have you in. Now, we want to keep you here, though, Ian.
Yeah, we have a couple more minutes.
Now, you know, Ian, we get a lot of mail.
All right.
Here at Radio Show with Jeff and Jeremy.
Yes.
We get tons of mail. We love getting people's emails, letters, faxes. We get all sorts of communications. And a lot of it's relationship advice. For some reason, people gravitate towards Jeremy and I for relationship advice.
Hmm.
So we got a couple letters here. These are actually letters that were mailed to my house. So we're going to go through them real quick.
They're mailing them now?
They're mailing them now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
So dear Radio Show, Jeff and Jeremy, that's how they always start. They usually start like this, too. They usually also have I'm a huge fan of the show.
Yeah.
It's really the best out there. It beats terrestrial radio. It's my favorite podcast. My boss asked me out on a date, and I'm interested, but not sure if it's the right thing for my career. What would you guys do? Dawn and Peninsula.
Dawn and Peninsula. So typically...
Is this D-O-N or D-A-W?
No, that's a great question. We get a lot of names that are like Jean that could go either way.
Yeah.
This is D-A-W-N.
D-A-W-N.
Okay, so
yeah.
this is a woman who got asked out
by a
boss.
Man, yeah.
I don't know. I think it's a tricky situation, Dawn.
I say you go for it.
Really?
Jeremy?
I think it depends on the job.
Okay.
I think it depends on what is, like, how far up can she move in this job? Like, if it's just maybe if it's just, like, she's not going to stay at this job very long, this is just a one stop.
Let's put it this way, Don. If you say no to your boss and you get fired, you weren't going to be staying there very much longer anyways.
That's true. That's true, Ian. But, Jeremy, I'm curious. Do you think that, so if there was a path that she should sleep her way to the top, is that what you're saying?
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Dawn and Peninsula. I'm surprised we have listeners all the way down Peninsula, but
I don't know because you know one of the things I always say is like you know you want to get recognition for what you do in your job,
yes,
and not just you know someone goes yeah sure whatever you know you're good at what you do, and then when you finally leave that job and you go somewhere, you haven't learned anything,
yeah,
you haven't made it up, you haven't learned the business, you're just delusional, and you think okay I'm gonna. I think she should quit, get another job.
Yeah, move on. Because it probably won't. You're saying it won't get any better at this point, right?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I think our listeners need to put more details in
there. They're very vague.
So we know they're very vague.
Yeah.
You know, what's
the
job?
Thing. You need to find out what the job is.
Yeah.
How attractive is this man?
Right. That's a lot of factors.
To play into it. Yeah.
Dawn, please write us back with the more details.
Yeah.
We got one more here. Dear Radio Show with Jeff and Jeremy. I'm a huge fan of the show, which we appreciate, Jeremy. I know we don't take that for granted, you and I. We appreciate people writing in,
yes,
fans of the show.
Right.
I've got a serious dilemma. I need your help. I'm dating a guy, and lately I've been more interested in my boyfriend's father than my actual boyfriend.
Ew.
Yeah.
What should I do, guys? And this is from Kelly in Jefferson, another far-reaching suburb. Jefferson, I think, is that east?
I'm not sure where that is, actually.
But I don't know, Ian. That's dicey, Ian. I mean, she's dating the guy.
Right.
And she has feelings for the father. To me, you got to explore those feelings.
Again, a lot of unanswered questions.
Yeah.
How old is she?
Right.
How old is the father?
Right.
Is the father married? Is the father with someone? Or is the father single?
Well, here's the other thing. Does this girl, does she have a dad? Maybe she doesn't have a dad.
Oh, that's true, too. That's true, too.
She's looking for the fatherly figure.
Yeah.
That's probably.
So it could be that your feelings for this dad are not actual sexual, and they're not actually a relationship. You just need a dad. You need some father figure.
Yeah.
You know, we get confused with our feelings all the time.
That's true. So. Yeah. Jeremy does every day.
I'm confused right now. And guys learn pretty early on to go after women that have those daddy issues. So if she's had that, you know, she has to be careful.
Yeah.
But I think if her boyfriend's listening, if you're listening, if you're dating someone named Kelly and Jefferson, I would, you know, watch out what she's doing at the next family gathering.
Yeah. So, Ian, what are your final thoughts to Kelly?
Kelly, just stick with your boyfriend.
Yeah.
Stick with
the boyfriend. I would say, the dad thing, it's not going to work. It's kind of like that lady trying to date her boss. It's not going to end well. Just stick with the boyfriend.
You said she should go after
it. Change your mind.
That was your first suggestion.
Yeah.
I think it's more important for her boyfriend. I think he needs to be informed as far as what's going on.
You definitely need to talk to your boyfriend about that. Yeah. So, but one thing, just, you know, remember, you like the dad, hey, you got the next best thing.
That's right. You got a younger version.
There you go.
You got a younger version.
So, there you go. He's just going to be that way, just, you know, a couple, you know, a few
years. You got
a
sneak preview.
That's right.
Right.
Yeah.
You got time to mold him into, you know, the father.
Into the dad that you want him to be.
Exactly.
That's right.
There you go.
I want to mold you into the dad I want you to be. All right.
Buy a wig. buy a graying wig.
Yeah. We need more letters, Jeremy.
Have them call you Pumpkin.
I know.
Ian, we get the craziest letters. You won't believe people write us about. I mean, remember that abortion one? That was a little weird.
Yeah, that was that.
But we bring it. We open. We're always open, Ian, for letters. So
you can
turn anyone away.
Yeah, you can. If you don't have Jeff's mailing address, you can always write to us at hatemail@radioshowonline.com. And check us out there. Listen to any of our past episodes. It's 8:12 now. We got to wrap this up, but wanted to thank Ian Petrella from A Christmas Story for stopping by. Appreciate it. And you can go check him out at A Christmas Story House and Museum. And as far as Jeff and I, you can check us out on Twitter. I'm at twitter.com/jborger.
So much potential.
My resolution is the same as always.
Make a resolution to give your kids Kellogg's Frosted.
For Radio Show, Jeff and Jeremy. This is Jeremy.
This is Jeff.
Have a week.